As they are making their way downstairs, I want to let you know, we spent a lot of the month of October talking about generosity and financial commitments for 2025. And so one, thank you. You have responded in beautiful ways, and I'm really, really grateful for that. I'm going to send you an email this week because we're not quite where we would like to be, and leadership team is going to meet the first Sunday in December to finalize a budget for 2025, and we'd like to have all the information we can to make sure that budget is as accurate as it can be and that we can really get excited about the things that God's calling us to do as we move into 2025. So look for that email from me, and if you haven't had a chance yet to make a commitment for 2025, we would love for you to do that. This morning, we are continuing we've been looking at different thank you notes in Scripture, different times throughout Scripture where people have given thanks for various things. We've given thanks for God at work in the hard spaces when we get called into hard places and how God works there. Last week, we gave thanks for our community and celebrated that. This morning, we're going to go back to the Old Testament, to 1 Samuel, and read a song of thanksgiving from Hannah. Before we do that, though, let's go to God in prayer. Let's pray. Holy God, we do give you thanks for this opportunity to be together, to worship together, Lord, to seek after you together. And so, God, we pray that now as we approach your word, that you would be in the reading and the hearing and the proclamation of your word, that we would be faithful, that you would mold us and shape us into the people that you desire for us to be. And, of course, may this encounter with you be so powerful, we cannot walk away unchanged. In your holy name we pray, amen. So I invite you to listen now for the word of the Lord. This is the second chapter of 1 Samuel. Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My strength is exalted in my God. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in my victory. There is no holy one like the Lord, no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bowels of the mighty are broken, and the feeble gird on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry are fat with spoil. The barren has borne 7, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he also exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on him he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness, for not by might does one prevail. The Lord, his adversaries shall be shattered. The Most High will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the power of his anointed." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So several years ago, I had been invited to help lead a worship service. It was a service for women. It was being led by all women clergy. It was in the evening. It was gorgeous. The sermon had been amazing, and the music had been so powerful. I mean, we were in the presence of the Lord. It was so good. And a dear friend of mine, she was going to preside over the table, and so she gets up at communion, and she is praying, and she is praying. She is deep in prayer, and you can tell she's visibly moved. She's struggling to hold back tears, and as she just keeps praying and praying, and the more she prays, the more she's being pulled into the stillness and solemnity of the moment, and she's getting quieter and more reflective as she prays at the table, when suddenly, from about halfway back in the sanctuary, someone says, "We can't hear you!" Totally disrupting the whole moment that we're having there in the Lord's presence. And so my friend immediately speaks louder and wraps up her prayer because she's so embarrassed. But sometimes I wonder, when we pray, do we feel like God's up there saying, we can't hear you. I don't know what you're talking about. We want to know that we're being heard when we pray. We want to know that God can hear us. We want to know that the people around us get us, they understand us, they hear us. But sometimes we're not sure. That's where Hannah is, as we've picked up in the story today. She's actually giving thanks because she's been asking this question all through the first chapter of the book of Samuel. Can God hear me? Hannah is married to Elkanah. Actually, Hannah is one of Elkanah's two wives. He has Peninnah and Hannah. Peninnah has children. Hannah has not been able to have any children. Chapter 1, the scripture tells us that Elkanah, her husband, loved her dearly. As a matter of fact, he loves her so much that on the day that he goes to sacrifice and he passes out the portions, he gives Hannah twice as many portions as he gives to his other wife who has the children. She's deeply loved, but nonetheless, she's deeply distressed because her womb is silent. And year after year, the scripture tells us her womb stays silent, not doing what she so desperately wants it to do. And so we learn that she goes to church in chapter 1. She goes to church, and that's good. Church is a good place to go when something isn't happening the way you want it to go. But I think we need to acknowledge that going to church doesn't make you pregnant. And actually, praying really hard and being a really good Christian and doing all the things that you're supposed to do also isn't going to make things happen the way you want them to happen. What I mean is, I want you to hear this, that Hannah is a faithful woman. She's been faithful to her husband. She's been faithful to her God. Scripture is clear. She is loved by her husband. She is loved by God. And yet, even as a very faithful person, has this deep heartache. We can't look at this story without acknowledging the deep hurt and grief that comes with infertility. Or quite frankly, the pain that comes anytime there is something that we so desperately want, something that we are convinced we are made for, that we are created to do, and yet is out of our control. The grief and the hurt and the disappointment, they're real. It's intense. Our souls long for these things, and yet our womb or our heart or whatever part isn't working the way we desperately want it to work stays silent. And the hurt is real. So I want to make sure then, as we approach this scripture, that we acknowledge the fact that coming to church, being a really good Christian, that following in the way of Jesus isn't going to make things go the way we want them to go. But still, we gather. Like Hannah, we come to our community, we come into the house of the Lord, and we come here because here we can acknowledge that we need God to hear our cries. We come here so that we can gather as a people who hear each other and hold each other in our heartaches and pain. Here we can know that we are being held and that we need to be heard. So Hannah goes into the house of the Lord, and the scripture tells us that she's deeply distressed, that she's weeping bitterly as she prays to the Lord. And as she prays, only her lips are moving. Her voice isn't being heard. She's praying to God that if God will give her a child, that she will submit that child back to the Lord, that she will take him back and the church can raise him. The priest, Eli, is standing there and he sees her lips moving, but he can't hear anything that she's saying. And so the scripture tells us that he thinks that she's drunk. Like, what else is happening here? She's not making any sound. And so now we have Hannah, whose womb is silent, offering a prayer that's silent. And in spite of all of this silence, she comes to a place in the presence of the Lord to be heard. And so for reasons that we don't get to find out until the passage that we're reading today in chapter 2, God allows her to conceive. And so in order to make good on her promise, she takes the baby she has yearned for so long, and she takes him to the temple, and there she surrenders him to the Lord. And she walks in, and she sees her friend Eli, the priest who's there, and she says, "For this child I have prayed, and the Lord has granted me the petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is given to the Lord." Hannah says, "God has heard me." The womb was silent, but it wasn't to God. The prayers were silent, but they weren't to God. Hannah has been heard. And because of that, she comes back then into the presence of God, into the house of the Lord, and she is giving back the very thing that she had longed for so long. And I can't even imagine what that moment would have been like. This most amazing, wonderful, here is this thing that I have wanted moment, and yet I am surrendering it. And it will completely be outside of my control. And in this moment where there is deep joy and what I can only imagine is deep hurt, we pick up with the scripture and it tells us that in that moment, Hannah prays. And this time, it's not silent. It's a loud and grateful song of doxology and thanksgiving. Here she is so grateful that God has heard the silenced. And in that moment, in that recognition, recognizing that God has indeed heard her, she can't help but sing. On my dad's side of the family, My grandma Lee, she is not with us anymore, but she has raised a whole family of people who have big, loud personalities. They all love Jesus, a cold beer, and breaking out into song at any given moment. And so anytime the Lee family got together, there was one thing that I can assure you was going to happen. My grandma, when it was time to eat dinner, no matter where we were, no matter what was going on, my grandma was going to make us circle up, hold hands, and sing the doxology. And we would sing together, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." We have sung that doxology at family reunions in the park. We've sung it at Mexican restaurants over margaritas. We've sung it at birthday parties and cookouts at someone's home. And after my grandfather died, we gathered together to celebrate his resurrection and give thanks for his life. And we gathered together in a circle, and we held hands, and we said, "Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. In the good things, in all the things, in the good things, and in the bad things," my grandma always insisted that we would sing songs of praise and thanksgiving. And that's what Hannah is doing here, that in all the things, when all the things are coming together in her life, the bad and the good, they're all coming together, she sings a song of praise and thanksgiving in this moment of delight and difficulty. She sings not because her gratitude is based on her circumstance. You remember we read that passage. She wasn't talking about that which God had given her. She is singing because of who God is. When she acknowledges who God is, she cannot be silent. She doesn't sing about what she gets to have. She doesn't sing about what God has given her. She doesn't even sing about the things that God's done in her life. She doesn't actually mention herself in the song at all. She sings about who God is. The fact that God is a hearer of those who are not heard. And so we realize here, then, in Hannah's song, this is when we realize that what's happening, what happens when Hannah bears the son is actually not about Hannah at all. It's not about Hannah's womb at all. It is about a God who hears the silenced. It's about a God who's working on behalf of those the world has cast aside. It is about a God who not only hears and honors those who are voiceless, but gives life to those who have been tossed aside. This song is a victory song, not just for Hannah. It's a victory song for all of Israel. It's a victory song for all of God's people. This is what Hannah is singing about. And scholars all through the ages get very excited about this song. And there's a one called N.T. Wright that you might be familiar with. He said, Hannah's song is more than a personal prayer of gratitude. It's politically deep. It's a deeply political and theological manifesto. It announces the arrival of a God who is about to reverse the world's value. The powerful will be overthrown. The poor and humble will be lifted up. James Cone is a black liberation theologian, and he said Hannah's song is not just a mother's hymn of thanksgiving for her son, but a profound affirmation that God hears the cries of the oppressed. It's a vision of a world turned upside down where the humble and the weak are exalted and the powerful are brought low. And then Elizabeth Schuessler Fiorenza, Hannah's song is a radical prayer of resistance. Through this prayer, Hannah becomes a prophetic voice for the poor and powerless, for women and children who have no voice in the patriarchal systems of her day. The beauty of this passage, this song, this prayer, it's as a proclamation of who God is. It's about a God who hears and values the silenced. And even just now when Jonathan was up here talking and he's talking about falling onto God, is a God who hears him when he felt like his life was in a hard and silent place. And it reminded me that in the time when I was interviewing here that Walter sent me a video one time that he had shared in worship, and he's talking about the journey that your family had and talked about that it's very much in the middle of the journey. We don't know how this journey is going to go, but I know I have a God who hears me. We have a God who hears and values the silenced. Later, Mary, the mother of Jesus, is going to sing this same song when she finds out she's pregnant with Jesus. When she finds out that God is going to embody human form in order to be at work, walking the earth and giving voice to the silence, teaching us what it looks like to follow in the way of Jesus, to live and love like Jesus, to hear the people that need to be heard, to work on behalf of the ones who have been silenced. And just like Hannah, when Mary hears this news, she can only give thanks and sing doxology. And so this morning, we're going to do the same thing. We are going to give thanks for the times that God has heard us in the places where we have felt silenced. We're going to give thanks for the places where we have seen God at work in the places where people have been silenced. And we do so knowing that everything doesn't always go the way we want it to go, and there's a lot of hurt and pain in that. But we also do so knowing that God continues to be at work, giving voice to the voiceless. So I would encourage you then on these next couple moments, the musicians are going to lead us, or they're going to give us a time to reflect and to give thanks. And just as we've done the last couple weeks, there is paper on the inside of your aisle, or there's two little writing tables at the back that have paper on them. This week I gave you pens. Thank you, Sawyer, for reminding me of that. So there are pens. I want you to write a thank you, a note of thanks for how have you seen God give voice to the voiceless? How has God heard the silenced? And we'll hang them up. We're going to continue to give testimony to this God who is at work in ways that are bigger than we can ask or imagine. You can begin your note now. As we move into communion, there will still be time to reflect. Like I said, you can sit back at the tables, pull up a chair, or you can do it in your pews. But let's take this time to give thanks to God.